the 8th of April. Up and all the morning full of business at the office. At noon dined with Mr. Povey, and then to the getting some business looked over of his. And then I to my Lord Chancellor's, where to have spoke with the Duke of Albemarle. But the King and Council busy, I could not. Then to the old exchange, and there of my new pretty seamstress, bought 4 bands, and so home, where I found my house mighty neat and clean. Then to my office late till past 12, and so home to bed. The French ambassadors are come incognito before their train, which will hereafter be very pompous. It is thought they come to get our king to join with the King of France in helping him against Flanders, and they to do the like to us against Holland. We have lain a good while with a good fleet at Harwich, the Dutch not said yet to be out. We, as high as we make our show, I am sure are unable to set out another small fleet, if this should be worsted. Wherefore, God send us peace, I cry. The 9th of April, Lord's Day. To church with my wife in the morning in her new light-coloured silk gown, which is, with her new point, very noble. Dined at home and in the afternoon to Fenchurch, the little church in the middle of Fenchurch Street, where are very few people and few of any rank. Thence, after sermon, home, and in the evening, walking in the garden, my Lady Pen and her daughter walked with my wife and I, and so to my house to eat with us, and very merry, and so broke up and to bed. The 10th of April. Up and to the Duke of Albemarle's, and thence to Whitehall to a committee for Tangier, where new disorder about Mr. Povey's accounts, that I think I shall never be settled in my business of treasurer for him. Here Captain Cook met me and did seem discontented about my boy Tom's having no time to mind his singing nor lute, which I answered him fully in, that he desired me that I would baste his coat. So home, and to the change, and thence to the old James to dine with Sir William Ryder, Cutler, and Mr. Deering, upon the business of hemp. And so thence to Whitehall to have attended the King and Lord Chancellor about the debts of the Navy, and to get some money. But the meeting failed. So my Lord Brunkard took me and Sir Thomas Harvey in his coach to the park, which is very troublesome with the dust, and ne'er a great beauty there today but Mistress Middleton. And so home to my office, where Mr. Warren proposed my getting of £100, to get him a protection for a ship to go out, which I think I shall do. So home to supper and to bed. The 11th of April. Up and betimes to Alderman Chiverton, to treat with him about hemp, and so back to the office. At noon dined at the Sun behind the change, with Sir Edward Deering and his brother and Commissioner Pett, we having made a contract with Sir Edward this day about timber. Thence to the office, where late very busy, but with some trouble, have also some hopes of profit too. So home to supper and to bed. The 12th of April. Up and to Whitehall to a committee of Tangier, where, contrary to all expectation, my Lord Ashley, being vexed with Povey's accounts, did propose it as necessary that Povey should be still continued treasurer of Tangier till he had made up his account, and with such arguments as I confess I was not prepared to answer, but by putting off that discourse, and so I think brought it right again. But it troubled me so all the day after, and night too, that I was not quiet, though I think it is doubtful whether I shall be much the worse for it or no, if it should come to be so. Dined at home, and thence to Whitehall again, where I lose most of my time nowadays, to my great trouble, charge, and loss of time and benefit. And there, after the council rose, Sir George Carteret, my Lord Brunkard, Sir Thomas Harvey, and myself down to my Lord Treasurer's chamber to him, and the Chancellor and the Duke of Albemarle. And there I did give them a large account of the charge of the Navy, and want of money. But strange to see how they held up their hands, crying, "What shall we do?" Says my Lord Treasurer, "Why, what means all this, Mr. Pepys?" "This is true, you say, but what would you have me to do? I have given all I can for my life. Why will not people lend their money? Why will they not trust the king as well as Oliver? Why do our prizes come to nothing that yielded so much heretofore? And this was all we could get, and went away without other answer, which is one of the saddest things, that at such a time as this, with the greatest action on foot that ever was in England, nothing should be minded, but let things go on of themselves, do as well as they can. So home, vexed, and going to my Lady Batten's, there found a great many women with her in her chamber, merry, my Lady Penn and her daughter among others, where my Lady Penn flung me down upon the bed, and herself and others, one after another, upon me, and very merry we were. And thence I home and called my wife with my Lady Penn to supper, and very merry as I could be, being vexed as I was. So home to bed. The 13th of April. Lay long in bed, troubled a little with wind, but not much. So to the office, and there all the morning. At noon to Sheriff Waterman's to dinner, all of us men of the office in town, and our wives, my Lady Carteret and daughters, and Lady Batten, Penn, and my wife, etc., and very good cheer we had, and merry. Music at and after dinner, and a fellow danced a jig. But when the company began to dance, I came away, lest I should be taken out, and God knows how my wife carried herself, but I left her to try her fortune. So home and late at the office, then home to supper and to bed. The 14th of April. Up and betimes to Mr. Povey, being desirous to have an end of my trouble of mind touching my Tangier business, whether he hath any desire of accepting what my Lord Ashley offered of his becoming treasurer again. And there I did, with a seeming most generous spirit, offer him to take it back again upon his own terms. But he did swear to me that he would not, above all things in the world, at which I was for the present satisfied. But going away thence and speaking with Creed, he puts me in doubt that the very nature of the thing will require that he be put in again, and did give me the reasons of the auditors, which, I confess, are so plain that I know not how to withstand them. But he did give me most ingenious advice what to do in it, and anon my Lord Berkeley and some of the commissioners coming together, though not in a meeting, I did procure that they should order Povey's payment of his remain of account to me, which order, if it doth pass, will put a good step to the fastening of the thing upon me. At noon Creed and I to a cook's shop at Charing Cross, and there dined and had much discourse, and his very good upon my business and upon other things, among the rest upon Will Howe's dissembling with us, we discovering one to another his carriage to us, present and absent, being a very false fellow. Thence to Whitehall again, and there spent the afternoon, and then home to fetch a letter for the council, and so back to Whitehall, where walked an hour with Mr. Wren, of my Lord Chancellor's, and Mr. Agar, and then to Unthanks, and called my wife, and with her through the city to Mile End Green, and ate some cream and cakes. And so back home, and I a little at the office, and so home to supper and to bed. This morning I was saluted with the news that the fleets, ours and the Dutch, were engaged, and that the guns were heard at Walthamstow to play all yesterday, and that Captain Tiddeman's legs were shot off in the Royal Catherine. But before night I hear the contrary, both by letters of my own and messengers thence, that they were all well of our side and no enemy appear yet, and that the Royal Catherine is come to the fleet, and likely to prove as good a ship as any the king hath, of which I'm heartily glad, both for Christopher Pett's sake and Captain Teddyman that is in her. The 15th of April. Up and to Whitehall about several businesses, but chiefly to see the progress of my warrants about Tangier under Creed, but to my trouble found them not finished. So back to the office, where all the morning busy. Then home to dinner, and then all the afternoon till very late at my office, and then home to supper and to bed, weary. The 16th of April, Lord's Day. Lay long in bed, then up and to my chamber and my office, looking over some plates, which I find necessary for me to understand pretty well, because of the Dutch War. Then home to dinner, where Creed dined with us. And so, after dinner, he and I walked to the Rolls Chapel, expecting to hear the great Stillingfleet preach. But he did not, but a very sorry fellow, which vexed me. The sermon done, we parted, and I home, where I find Mr. Andrews, and by and by comes Captain Taylor, my old acquaintance at Westminster that understands music very well and composes mighty bravely. He brought us some things of two parts to sing, very hard. But that is the worst, he is very conceited of them, and that, though they are good, makes them troublesome to one to see him every note commend and admire them. He supped with me, and a good understanding man he is, and a good scholar, and, among other things, a great antiquary. And, among other things, he can, as he says, show the very original charter to Worcester of King Edgar's, wherein he styles himself Rex Marium Britanniae, etc., which is the great text that Mr. Selden and others do quote, but imperfectly and upon trust. But he hath the very original, which he says he will show me. He gone, we to bed. This night I am told that news is come of our taking of 3 Dutch men of war, with the loss of one of our captains. The 17th of April. Up and to the Duke of Albemarle's, where he showed me Mr. Coventry's letters, how 3 Dutch privateers are taken, in one whereof Everson's son is captain, but they have killed poor Captain Golding in the Diamond. 2 of them, one of 32, and the other of 20-odd guns, did stand stoutly up against her, which hath 46, and the Yarmouth, that hath 52 guns, and as many more men as they, so that they did more than we could expect, not yielding till many of their men were killed. And Everson, when he was brought before the Duke of York, and was observed to be shot through the hat, answered that he wished it had gone through his head, rather than been taken. One thing more is written, that 2 of our ships the other day, appearing upon the coast of Holland, they presently fired their beacons round the country to give notice. And news is brought the king, that the Dutch Smyrna fleet is seen upon the back of Scotland, and thereupon the king hath wrote to the duke that he doth appoint a fleet to go to the northward, to try to meet them coming home round, which God send. Thence to Whitehall, where the king, seeing me, did come to me, and calling me by name, did discourse with me about the ships in the river. And this is the first time that ever I knew the king did know me personally, so that hereafter I must not go thither but with expectation to be questioned, and to be ready to give good answers. So home, and thence with Creed, who came to dine with me, to the old James, where we dined with Sir William Ryder and Cutler, and by, being called by my wife, we all to a play, The Ghosts, at the Duke's house, but a very simple play. Thence up and down with my wife with me to look Sir Philip Warwick, Mr. Creed going from me, but missed of him, and so home, and late and busy at my office. So home to supper and to bed. This day was left at my house a very neat silver watch, by one Briggs, a scrivener and solicitor, at which I was angry with my wife for receiving, or at least for opening the box wherein it was, and so far witnessing our receipt of it as to give the messenger 5 shillings for bringing it. But it can't be helped, and I will endeavour to do the man a kindness, he being a friend of my Uncle White's. The 18th of April. Up and to Sir Philip Warwick, and walked with him an hour with great delight in the park, about Sir George Carteret's accounts, and the endeavours that he hath made to bring Sir George Carteret to show his accounts, and let the world see what he receives, and what he pays. Thence home to the office, where I find Sir John Minnis come home from Chatham, and Sir William Batten both this morning from Harwich, where they have been these 7 or 8 days. At noon, with my wife and Mr. Moore by water to Chelsea, about my Privy Seal for Tangier, but my Lord Privy Seal was gone abroad, and so we, without going out of the boat, forced to return, and find him not at Whitehall. So I to Sir Philip Warwick, and with him to my Lord Treasurer, who signed my commission for Tangier Treasurer, and the docket of my Privy Seal for the monies to be paid to me. thence to Whitehall to Mr. Moore again, and not finding my lord, I home, taking my wife and woman up at Unthanks, late at my office, then to supper and bed. The 19th of April. Up by 5 o'clock and by water to Whitehall, and there took coach and with Mr. Moore to Chelsea, where after all my fears what doubts and difficulties my Lord Privy Seal would make at my Tangier Privy Seal, he did pass it at first reading, without my speaking with him, and then called me in and was very civil to me. I passed my time in contemplating, before I was called in, the picture of my lord's son's lady, a most beautiful woman, and most like to Mistress Butler. Thence, very much joyed, to London back again, and found out Mr. Povey, told him this, and then went and left my Privy Seal at my Lord Treasurer's, and so to the Change, and thence to Trinity House, where a great dinner of Captain Crisp, who is made an elder brother. And so, being very pleasant at dinner, away home, Creed with me, and there met Povey and we to Gresham College, where we saw some experiments upon a hen, a dog, and a cat of the Florence poison. The first it made for a time drunk, but it came to itself again quickly. The second it made vomit mightily, but no other hurt. The third I did not stay to see the effect of it, being taken out by Povey, and he and I walked below together, he giving me most exceeding discouragements in the getting of money, whether by design or no I know not, for I am now come to think him a most cunning fellow in most things he doth, but his accounts, and made it plain to me that money will be hard to get, and that it is to be feared Backwell hath a design in it, to get the thing forced upon himself. This put me into a cruel melancholy, to think I may lose what I have had so near my hand. But yet something may be hoped for, which tomorrow will show. He gone, Creed and I together a great while, consulting what to do in this case. And after all, I left him to do what he thought fit in his discourse tomorrow with my Lord Ashley. So home, and in my way met with Mr. Warren, from whom my hopes, I fear, will fail of what I hoped for by my getting him a protection. But all these troubles will, if not be over, yet we shall see the worst of them in a day or two. So to my office and thence to supper, and my head aching. Betimes, that is by 10 or 11 o'clock, to bed. The 20th of April. Up and all the morning busy at the office. At noon dined, and Mr. Povey, by agreement with me, where his boldness with Mercer, poor innocent wench, did make both her and me blush, to think how we were able to debauch a poor girl if he had opportunity, at a dish or two of plain meat of his own choice. After dinner comes Creed, and then Andrews, where want of money to Andrews the main discourse, and at last, in confidence of Creed's judgment, I am resolved to spare him 400 or 500 pounds of what lies by me, upon the security of some tallies. This went against my heart to begin, but which, obtaining Mr. Creed to join with me, we do resolve to assist Mr. Andrews. Then anon we parted, and I to my office, where late, and then home to supper and to bed. This night, I am told, the first play is played in Whitehall Hall, which is now turned to a house of playing. I had a great mind, but could not go to see it. The 21st of April. Up and to my office about business, anon comes Creed and Povey, and we treat about the business of our lending money, Creed and I, upon a tally, for the satisfying of Andrews, and did conclude it as in papers is expressed. And as I am glad to have an opportunity of having 10% for my money, so I am as glad that the sum I begin this trade with is no more than £350. We all dined, at Andrews' charge, at the Sun behind the Change. A good dinner, the worst dress that ever I ate any, then home, and there find Kate Joyce and Harmon come to see us. With them, after long talk, abroad by coach, a tour in the fields, and drunk at Islington, it being very pleasant, the dust being laid by a little rain, and so home, very well pleased with this day's work, and so after a while at my office to supper and to bed. This day we hear that the Duke and the fleet assailed yesterday. Pray God go along with them, that they have good speed in the beginning of their work. The 22nd of April. Up and Mr. Caesar, my boy's lute-master, being come betimes to teach him, I did speak with him seriously about the boy, what my mind was if he did not look after his lute and singing, that I would turn him away, which I hope will do some good upon the boy. All the morning busy at the office. At noon dined at home and then to the office again. Very busy till very late. And so home to supper and to bed. My wife making great preparation to go to court to chapel tomorrow. This day I have news from Mr. Coventry that the fleet is sailed yesterday from Harwich to the coast of Holland, to see what the Dutch will do. God go along with them. The 23rd of April. Lord's Day. Mr. Povey, according to promise, sent his coach betimes, and I carried my wife and her woman to Whitehall Chapel, and set them in the organ loft. And I, having list to untruss, went to the harp and ball, and there drank also, and entertained myself in talk with the maid of the house, a pretty maid and very modest. Thence to the chapel, and heard the famous young Stillingfleet, who I knew at Cambridge, and is now newly admitted one of the king's chaplains, and was presented, they say, to my Lord Treasurer for St. Andrew's Holborn, where he is now minister, with these words, that they, the bishops of Canterbury, London, and another, believed he is the ablest young man to preach the gospel of any since the apostles. He did make the most plain, honest, good, grave sermon, in the most unconcerned and easy yet substantial manner that ever I heard in my life, upon the words of Samuel to the people. Fear the Lord in truth with all your heart, and remember the great things that he hath done for you, it being proper to this day, the day of the king's coronation. Thence to Mr. Povey's, where mightily treated, and creed with us. But, Lord, to see how Povey overdoes everything in commending it doth make it nauseous to me, and was not, by reason of my large praise of his house, over-acceptable to my wife. Thence, after dinner, Creed and we by coach, took the air in the fields beyond St. Pancras, it raining now and then, which it seems is most welcome weather. And then all to my house, where comes Mr. Hill, Andrews, and Captain Taylor, and good music. But at supper to hear the arguments we had against Taylor concerning a courant, he saying that the law of a dancing courant is to have every bar to end in a pricked crotchet, and quaver, which I did deny, was very strange. It proceeded till I vexed him, but all parted friends, for Creed and I to laugh at when he was gone. After supper Creed and I together to bed in Mercer's bed, and so to sleep. The 24th of April. Up and with Creed in Sir William Batten's coach to Whitehall, Sir William Batten and I to the Duke of Albemarle, where very busy. Then I to Creed's chamber, where I received, with much ado, my two orders about receiving of Povey's monies and answering his credits. And it is strange how he will preserve his constant humour of delaying all business that comes before him. Thence he and I to London to my office, and back again to my Lady Sandwich's to dinner, where my wife by agreement. After dinner alone my lady told me, with the prettiest kind of doubtfulness, whether it would be fit for her, with respect to Creed, to do it, that is, in the world, that Creed hath broke his desire to her of being a servant to Mistress Betty Pickering, and placed it upon encouragement which he had had from some discourse of her ladyship's, commending of her virtues to him, which, poor lady, she meant most innocently. She did give him a cold answer, but not so severe as it ought to have been, and it seems, as the lady since to my lady confesses, he had wrote a letter to her, which she answered slightly, and was resolved to contemn any motion of his therein. My lady takes the thing very ill, as it is fit she should, but I advise her to stop all future occasions of the world's taking notice of his coming thither so often as of late he hath done. But to think that he should have this devilish presumption to aim at a lady so near to my lord is strange, both for his modesty and discretion. thence to the cockpit, and there walked an hour with my Lord Duke of Albemarle alone in his garden, where he expressed in great words his opinion of me, that I was the right hand of the navy here, nobody but I taking any care of anything therein, so that he should not know what could be done without me, at which I was, from him, not a little proud. Thence to a committee of Tangier, where, because not a quorum, little was done, and so away to my wife, Creed with me, to my wife at Mistress Pierce's, who continues very pretty and is now great with child. I had not seen her a great while. Thence by coach to my Lord Treasurer's, but could not speak with Sir Philip Warwick, so by coach with my wife and Mercer to the park. But the King being there, and I, nowadays, being doubtful of being seen in any pleasure, did part from the tour, and away out of the park to Knightsbridge, and there ate and drank in the coach, and so home. And I, after a while at my office, home to supper and to bed, having got a great cold, I think, by my pulling off my periwig so often. The 25th of April. At the office all the morning, and the like after dinner. At home all the afternoon till very late, and then to bed, being very hoarse with a cold I did lately get with leaving off my periwig. This afternoon William Penn, lately come from his father in the fleet, did give me an account how the fleet did sail, about 103 in all, besides small ketches, they being in sight of 6 or 7 Dutch scouts, and sent ships in chase of them. The 26th of April. Up very betimes, my cold continuing, and my stomach sick with the buttered ale that I did drink the last night in bed, which did lie upon me till I did this morning vomit it up. So walked to Povey's, where Creed met me, and there I did receive the first parcel of money as treasurer of Tangier, and did give him my receipt for it, which was about £2,800 value in tallies. We did also examine and settle several other things, and then I away to Whitehall, talking with Povey alone about my opinion of Creed's indiscretion in looking after Mistress Pickering, desiring him to make no more sport of it, but to correct him if he finds that he continues to own any such thing. This I did by my lady's desire, and do intend to pursue the stop of it. So to the carrier's by Cripplegate, to see whether my mother be come to town or no, I expecting her today. But she is not come. So to dinner to my lady Sandwiches, and there, after dinner above in the dining-room, did spend an hour or two with her, talking again about Creed's folly. But strange it is that he should dare to propose this business himself of Mistress Pickering to my lady, and to tell my lady that he did it for her virtue's sake, not minding her money, for he could have a wife with more. But for that he did intend to depend upon her ladyship to get as much of her father and mother for her as she could, and that what he did was by encouragement from discourse of her ladyship's. He also had wrote to Mistress Pickering, but she did give him a slighting answer back again. But I do very much fear that our honour, if the world comes to take notice of it, may be wronged by it. Thence home, and all the afternoon till night at my office, then home to supper and to bed. The 27th of April. Up and to my office, where all the morning, at noon, Creed dined with me, and after dinner walked in the garden, he telling me that my Lord Treasurer now begins to be scrupulous, and will know what becomes of the £26,000 saved by my Lord Peterborough, before he parts with any more money, which puts us into new doubts, and me into a great fear, that all my cake will be dough still. But I am well prepared for it to bear it, being not clear whether it will be more for my profit to have it or go without it, as my profits of the navy are likely now to be. All the afternoon till late, hard at the office, then to supper and to bed. This night William Hewer is returned from Harwich, where he hath been paying off of some ships this fortnight, and went to sea a good way with the fleet, which was 96 in company then, men of war, besides some come in and following them since, which makes now above 100, whom God bless. The 28th of April. Up by 5 o'clock and by appointment with Creed by 6 at his chamber, expecting Povey, who came not. Thence he and I out to Sir Philip Warwick's, but being not up, we took a turn in the garden hard by, and thither comes Povey to us. After some discourse of the reason of the difficulty that Sir Philip Warwick makes in issuing a warrant for my striking of tallies, namely, the having a clear account of the £26,000 saved by my Lord of Peterborough, we parted, and I to Sir Philip Warwick, who did give me an account of his demur, which I applied myself to remove by taking Creed with me to my Lord Ashley, from whom, contrary to all expectation, I received a very kind answer, just as we could have wished it, that he would satisfy my Lord Treasurer. Thence, very well satisfied, I home and down the river to visit the victualling ships, where I find all out of order, and come home to dinner, and then to write a letter to the Duke of Albemarle about the victualling ships, and carried it myself to the council chamber, where it was read. And when they rise, my Lord Chancellor, passing by, stroked me on the head, and told me that the board had read my letter, and taken order for the punishing of the watermen for not appearing on board the ships. And so did the king afterward, who doth now know me so well that he never sees me, but he speaks to me about our navy business. Thence got my Lord Ashley to my Lord Treasurer below in his chamber, and there removed the scruple, and by brought Mr. Sherwin to Sir Philip Warwick and did the like, and so home, and after a while at my office, to bed. The 29th of April. All the morning busy at the office, in the afternoon to my Lord Treasurer's, and there got my Lord Treasurer to sign the warrant for my striking of tallies, and so doing many jobs in my way. Home, and there late writing letters, being troubled in my mind to hear that Sir William Batten and Sir John Minnis do take notice that I'm nowadays much from the office, upon no office business, which vexes me, and will make me mind my business the better, I hope in God. But what troubles me more is that I do omit to write, as I should do, to Mr. Coventry, which I must not do, though this night I minded it so little as to sleep in the middle of my letter to him, and committed 40 blots and blurs in my letter to him. But of this I hope never more to be guilty, if I have not already given him sufficient offence. So late home and to bed. The 30th of April. Lord's Day. Up and to my office alone all the morning, making up my monthly accounts, which, though it hath been very intricate and very great disbursements and receipts and odd reckonings, yet I differed not from the truth, viz., between my first computing what my profit ought to be, and then what my cash and debts do really make me worth, not above 10 shillings, which is very much, and I do much value myself upon that account. And herein I with great joy find myself to have gained this month above £100 clear, and in the whole to be worth above £1,400, the greatest sum I ever yet was worth. Thence home to dinner, and there find poor Mr. Spong walking at my door, where he had knocked, and being told I was at the office, stood modestly there walking, because of disturbing me, which, methinks, was one of the most modest acts of a man that hath no need of being so to me, that ever I knew in my life. He dined with me, and then after dinner to my closet, where abundance of mighty pretty discourse, wherein, in a word, I find him the man of the world that hath of his own ingenuity obtained the most in most things, being withal no scholar. He gone, I took boat and down to Woolwich and Deptford, and made it late home, and so to supper and to bed. Thus I end this month, in great content as to my estate and gettings, in much trouble as to the pains I have taken and the rubs I expect yet to meet with about the business of Tangier, the fleet, with about 106 ships upon the coast of Holland, in sight of the Dutch within the Texel, great fears of the sickness here in the city, it being said that 2 or 3 houses are already shut up. God preserve us all. May 1665. The first. Up unto Mr. Povey's, and by his bedside, talked a good while. Among other things, he doth much insist, I perceive, upon the difficulty of getting of money, and would fain have me to concur in the thinking of some other way of disposing of the place of treasurer, to one Mr. Ball. But I did seem slight of it, and resolved to try to do the best, or to give it up. Thence to the Duke of Albemarle, where I was sorry to find myself to come a little late, and so home, and at noon, going to the change, met my Lord Brunkard, Sir Robert Murray, Dean Wilkins, and Mr. Hook, going by coach to Colonel Blunt's to dinner. So they stopped and took me with them, landed at the Tower Wharf, and thence by water to Greenwich. And there coaches met us, and to his house, a very stately seat for situation and brave plantations, and among others a vineyard, the first that ever I did see. No extraordinary dinner, nor any other entertainment good, but only, after dinner, to the trial of some experiments about making of coaches easy. And several we tried, but one did prove mighty easy, not here for me to describe, but the whole body of that coach lies upon one long spring, and we all, one after another, rid in it, and it is very fine and likely to take. These experiments were the intent of their coming, and pretty they are. Thence back by coach to Greenwich, and in his pleasure boat to Deptford, and there stopped, and in to Mr. Evelyn's, which is a most beautiful place, but it being dark and late, I stayed not. But Dean Wilkins and Mr. Hook and I walked to Redriff, and noble discourse all day long did please me. And it being late, did take them to my house to drink, and did give them some sweetmeats, and then sent them with a lantern home. Two worthy persons as are in England, I think, or the world. So to my Lady Batten, where my wife is to-night, and so, after some merry talk, home to bed. The 2nd of May. Up and to the office all day, where sat late, and then to the office again. And by and by Sir William Batten and my lady and my wife and I, by appointment yesterday my Lady Penn failing us, who ought to have been with us, to the Rhenish Wine House at the Steelyard, and there ate a couple of lobsters and some prawns, and pretty merry, especially to see us four together, while my wife and my lady did never intend ever to be together again, after a year's distance between one another. Hither, by and by, came Sir Richard Ford, and also Mistress Esther, that lived formerly with my Lady Batten, now well married to a priest, come to see my lady. Thence toward evening, home and to my office, where late, and then home to supper and to bed. The 3rd of May. Up betimes and walked to Sir Philip Warwick's, where a long time with him in his chamber alone, talking of Sir George Carteret's business and the abuses he puts on the nation by his bad payments, to both our vexations, but no hope of remedy for aught I see. Thence to my Lord Ashley, to a committee of Tangier, for my Lord Rutherford's accounts. And that done, we to my Lord Treasurer's, where I did receive my Lord's warrant to Sir Robert Long, for drawing a warrant for my striking of tallies. So to the inn again by Cripplegate, expecting my mother's coming to town, but she is not come this week neither, the coach being too full. So to the change, and thence home to dinner, and so out to Gresham College, and saw a cat killed with the Duke of Florence's poison, and saw it proved that the oil of tobacco, drawn by one of the society, doth the same effect, and is judged to be the same thing with the poison, both in colour, and smell, and effect. I saw also an abortive child, preserved fresh in spirit of salt. Thence parted, and to Whitehall to the council chamber about an order touching the navy, our being empowered to commit seamen or masters that do not, being hired or pressed, follow their work. But they could give us none. So, a little vexed at that, because I put in the memorial to the Duke of Albemarle alone, under my own hand, home, and after some time at the office, home to bed. My Lord Chief Justice Hyde did die suddenly this week, a day or two ago, of an apoplexy. The 4th of May. Up and to the office, where we sat busy all the morning, at noon, home to dinner, and then to the office again all day, till almost midnight, and then, weary, home to supper and to bed. The 5th of May. Up betimes and by water to Westminster, there to speak the first time with Sir Robert Long, to give him my privy seal and my Lord Treasurer's order for Tangier tallies. He received me kindly enough. Thence home by water and presently down to Woolwich and back to Blackwall, and there viewed the breach in order to a mast dock, and so to Deptford to the Globe, where my Lord Brunkard, Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, and Commissioner Pett were at dinner, having been at the breach also. But they find it will be of too great charge to make use of it. After dinner to Mr. Evelyn's, he being abroad, we walked in his garden, and a lovely noble ground he hath indeed, and among other rarities, a hive of bees. So, as being hived in glass, you may see the bees making their honey and combs mighty pleasantly. Thence home, and I by and by to Mr. Povey's to see him, who is yet in his chamber, not well, and thence, by his advice, to one Lovett's, a varnisher, to see his manner of new varnish, but found him not at home. But his wife, a very beautiful woman, who showed me much variety of admirable work, and is in order to my having of some papers fitted with lines for my use for tables and the like. I know not whether I was more pleased with the thing, or that I was showed it by her. But resolved I am to have some made, so home to my office late, and then to supper and to bed. My wife tells me that she hears that my poor Aunt James hath had her breast cut off here in town, her breast having long been out of order. This day, after I had suffered my own hair to grow long, in order to wearing it, I find the convenience of periwigs is so great that I've cut off all short again, and will keep to periwigs. The 6th of May. Up and all day at the office, but a little at dinner, and there late till past 12. So home to bed, pleased, as I always am after I have rid a great deal of work, it being very satisfactory to me. The 7th of May. Lord's Day. Up and to church with my wife. Home and dined. After dinner came Mr. Andrews and spent the afternoon with me about our Tangier business of the victuals, and then parted. And after sermon comes Mr. Hill and a gentleman, a friend of his, one Mr. Scott, that sings well also, and then comes Mr. Andrews, and we all sung and supped, and then to sing again, and passed the Sunday very pleasantly and soberly, and so I to my office a little, and then home to prayers and to bed. Yesterday begun my wife to learn to limb of one Brown, which Mr. Hill helps her to, and by her beginning, upon some eyes, I think she will do very fine things, and I shall take great delight in it. The 8th of May. Up very betimes, and did much business before I went out with several persons, among others Captain Taylor, who would leave the management of most of his business, now he is going to Harwich, upon me. And if I can get money by it, which I believe it will, I shall take some of it upon me. Thence with Sir William Batten to the Duke of Albemarle's, and there did much business, and then to the Change, and thence off with Sir William Warren to an ordinary, where we dined and sat talking of most useful discourse till 5 in the afternoon, and then home and very busy till late, and so home and to bed. The 9th of May. Up betimes, and to my business at the office, where all the morning, at noon comes Mistress Theophila Turner and dines with us, and my wife's painting master stayed and dined, and I take great pleasure in thinking that my wife will really come to something in that business. Here dined also Llewellyn. So, after dinner, to the office, and there very busy till almost midnight, and so home to supper and to bed. This day we have news of 8 ships being taken by some of ours going into the Texel, their 2 men of war that convoyed them running in. They came from about Ireland, round to the north. The 10th of May. up betimes and abroad to the cockpit, where the Duke did give Sir William Batten and me an account of the late taking of 8 ships, and of his intent to come back to the gun fleet with the fleet presently, which creates us much work and haste therein, against the fleet comes. So to Mr. Povey, and after discourse with him, home and thence to the guard in Southwark, there to get some soldiers, by the Duke's order, to go keep pressmen on board our ships. So to the change, and did much business, and then home to dinner, and there find my poor mother come out of the country to-day, in good health, and I am glad to see her, but my business, which I am sorry for, keeps me from paying the respect I ought to her at her first coming, she being grown very weak in her judgment, and doting again in her discourse, through age and some trouble in her family. Left her and my wife to go abroad to buy something, and then I to my office. In the evening, by appointment to Sir William Warren and Mr. Deering at a tavern hard by, with intent to do some good upon their agreement in a great bargain of plank. So home to my office again, and then to supper and to bed, my mother being in bed already. The 11th of May. Up betimes and at the office all the morning, at home dined, and then to the office all day till late at night, and then home to supper, weary with business, and to bed. The 12th of May. Up betimes and find myself disappointed in my receiving presently of my £50, hoped for more, of Mr. Warren upon the benefit of my press warrant, but he promises to make it good. So by water to the Exchequer, and there up and down through all the offices to strike my tallies for £17,500, which, methinks, is so great a testimony of the goodness of God to me, that I, from a mean clerk there, should come to strike tallies myself for that sum, and in the authority that I do now is a very stupendous mercy to me. I shall have them struck tomorrow. But to see how every little fellow looks after his fees, and to get what he can for everything, is a strange consideration. The King's fees, that he must pay himself for this £17,500, coming to above £100. Thence, called my wife at Unthanks, to the New Exchange, and elsewhere, to buy a lace band for me, but we did not buy. But I find it so necessary to have some handsome clothes, that I cannot but lay out some money thereupon. To the change, and thence to my watchmaker, where he has put it in order, and a good and brave piece it is, and he tells me worth £14, which is a greater present than I valued it. So home to dinner, and after dinner come several people, among others my cousin Thomas Pepys of Hatcham, to receive some money of my Lord Sandwich's, and then I paid him what was due to him upon my uncle's score. But contrary to my expectation, did get him to sign and seal to my sale of lands for payment of debts, so that now I reckon myself in better condition by £100 in my content than I was before, when I was liable to be called to an account, and others after me, by my uncle Thomas or his children, for every foot of land we had sold before. This I reckon a great good fortune in the getting of this done. He gone, came Mr. Povey, Dr. Twisden, and Mr. Lawson, about settling my security in the paying of the £4,000 ordered to Sir John Lawson. So a little abroad, and then home and late at my office and closet, settling this day's disordering of my papers, then to supper and to bed. The 13th of May. Up and all day in some little grudgings of pain, as I used to have, from wind arising, I think, from my fasting so long and want of exercise, and I think going so hot in clothes, the weather being hot, and I in the same clothes I wore all winter. To the change after office, and received my watch from the watchmaker, and a very fine one it is, given me by Briggs the scrivener. Home to dinner, and then I abroad to the Attorney General about advice upon the Act for Land Carriage, which he desired not to give me before I had received the King's and Council's order therein. Going home, bespoke the King's works, will cost me 50 shillings, I believe. So home and late at my office. But, Lord, to see how much of my old folly and childishness hangs upon me still, that I cannot forbear carrying my watch in my hand in the coach all this afternoon, and seeing what o'clock it is 100 times. And am apt to think with myself, how could I be so long without one? Though I remember since I had one and found it a trouble, and resolved to carry one no more about me while I lived. So home to supper and to bed, being troubled at a letter from Mr. Chumley from Tangier, wherein he doth advise me how people are at work to overthrow our victualling business, by which I shall lose £300 per annum. I am much obliged to him for this secret kindness, and concerned to repay it him in his own concernments and look after this. The 14th and 15th of May, Lord's Day. Up and with my wife to church, it being Whitsunday. My wife very fine in a new yellow bird's-eye hood, as the fashion is now. We had a most sorry sermon. So home to dinner, my mother having her new suit brought home, which makes her very fine. After dinner, my wife and she and Mercer to Thomas Pepys's wife's christening of his first child, and I took a coach and to Wanstead, the house where Sir Henry Mildmay did live, and now Sir Robert Brooks lives, having bought it of the Duke of York, it being forfeited to him. A fine seat, but a old-fashioned house, and being not full of people, looks desolately. Thence to Walthamstow, where, failing at the other place, Sir William Batten by and by came home, I walking up and down the house and garden with my lady, very pleasant. Then to supper, very merry, and then back by coach by dark night. I, all the afternoon in the coach, reading the treasonous book of the Court of King James, printed a great while ago, and worth reading, though ill-intended. As soon as came home, upon a letter from Duke of Albemarle, I took boat, at about 12 at night, and down the river in a galley, my boy and I, down to the Hope, and so up again, sleeping and waking with great pleasure. My business to call upon every one of our victualling ships to set them a-going. And so home, and after dinner to the King's Playhouse all alone, and saw Love's Mistress. Some pretty things and good variety in it, but no or little fancy in it. Thence to the Duke of Albemarle to give him account of my day's works, where he showed me letters from Sir George Downing of 4 days' date, that the Dutch are come out and joined, well manned, and resolved to board our best ships, and fight for certain they will. Thence to the Swan at Herbert's, and there the company of Sarah a little while, and so away and called at the Harp and Ball, where the maid, Mary, is very formosa. But, Lord, to see in what readiness I am upon the expiring of my vows this day to begin to run into all my pleasures and neglect of business. Thence home, and being sleepy, to bed. The 16th of May. Up betimes into the Duke of Albemarle with an account of my yesterday's action in writing. So back to the office, where all the morning very busy. After dinner by coach to see and speak with Mr. Povey, and after little discourse, back again home where busy upon letters till past 12 at night, and so home to supper and to bed, weary. The 17th of May. Up and by appointment to a meeting of Sir John Lawson and Mr. Chumley's attorneys, and Mr. Povey at the Swan Tavern at Westminster, to settle their business about my being secured in the payment of money to Sir John Lawson in the other's absence. Thence at Langford's, where I never was since my brother died there, I find my wife and Mercer having with him agreed upon 2 rich silk suits for me, which is fit for me to have, but yet the money is too much, I doubt, to lay out altogether. But it is done, and so let it be, it being the expense of the world that I can best bear with and the worst spare. Thence home, and after dinner to the office, where late, and so home to supper and to bed. Sir John Minnis and I had an angry bout this afternoon with Commissioner Pett about his neglecting his duty and absenting himself, unknown to us, from his place at Chatham. But a most false man I ever find him, more and more, and in this, very full of equivocation. The fleet, we doubt not, come to Harwich by this time. Sir William Batten is gone down this day thither, and the Duchess of York went down yesterday to meet the Duke. The 18th of May. Up and with Sir John Minnis to the Duke of Albemarle, where we did much business, and I with good content to myself. Among other things we did examine Nixon and Stainsby about their late running from two Dutchmen, for which they are committed to a vessel to carry them to the fleet to be tried, a most foul, unhandsome thing as ever was heard for plain cowardice, on Nixon's part. Thence with the Duke of Albemarle in his coach to my Lord Treasurer, and there was before the King whoever now calls me by my name, and Lord Chancellor and many other great lords, discoursing about insuring of some of the King's goods, wherein the King accepted of my motion that we should, and so away, well pleased. To the office and dined, and then to the office again and abroad to speak with Sir George Carteret. But, Lord, to see how frail a man I am, subject to my vanities, that can hardly forbear, though pressed with never so much business, my pursuing of pleasure. But home I got, and there very busy very late, among other things consulting with Mr. Andrews about our Tangier business, wherein we are like to meet with some trouble, and my Lord Bellis's endeavour to supplant us, which vexes my mind, but, however, our undertaking is so honourable that we shall stand a tug for it, I think. So home to supper and to bed. The 19th of May. Up and to Whitehall, where the committee for Tangier met, and there, though the case as to the merit of it was most plain, and most of the company favourable to our business, yet it was with much ado that I got the business not carried fully against us, but put off to another day, my Lord Arlington being the great man in it, and I was sorry to be found arguing so greatly against him. The business, I believe, will in the end be carried against us, and the whole business fall. I must therefore endeavour, the most I can, to get money another way. It vexed me to see Creed so hot against it, but I cannot much blame him, having never declared to him my being concerned in it. But that troubles me most is my Lord Arlington calls to me privately, and asks me whether I had ever said to anybody that I desired to leave this employment, having not time to look after it. I told him no, for that the thing being settled, it will not require much time to look after it. He told me then he would do me right to the King, for he had been told so, which I desired him to do, and by he called me to him again, and asked me whether I had no friend about the Duke, asking me, I making a stand, whether Mr. Coventry was not my friend. I told him I had received many friendships from him. He then advised me to procure that the Duke would, in his next letter, write to him to continue me in that place, and remove any obstruction, which I told him I would, and thanked him. So parted, vexed at the first, and amazed at this business of my Lord Arlington's. Thence to the Exchequer, and there got my tallies for £17,500, the first payment I ever had out of the Exchequer. And at the Leg spent 14 shillings upon my old acquaintance, some of them the clerks. And away home with my tallies in a coach, fearful every step of having one of them fall out or snatched from me. Being come home, I, much troubled, out again by coach, for company taking Sir William Warren with me, intending to have spoke to my Lord Arlington to have known the bottom of it, but missed him. And afterward, discoursing the thing as a confidant to Sir William Warren, he did give me several good hints, and principally not to do anything suddenly, but consult my pillow upon that and every great thing in my life, before I resolve anything in it. Away, back home, and not being fit for business, I took my wife and Mercer down by water to Greenwich at 8 at night, it being very fine and cool, and moonshine afterward. Mighty pleasant passage it was. There ate a cake or two, and so home by 10 or 11 at night, and then to bed, my mind not settled what to think. The 20th and 21st of May. Up and to my office, where busy all the morning, At noon, dined at home and to my office, very busy, till past one. Lord's Day in the morning, writing letters to the fleet and elsewhere. And my mind eased of much business, home to bed, and slept till 8. So up, and this day is brought home one of my new silk suits, the plain one, but very rich camlot and noble. I tried it, and pleases me, but did not wear it before. I would not go out today to church, so laid it by, and my mind changed, thinking to go see my Lady Sandwich, and did go a little way, but stopped and returned home to dinner. After dinner, up to my chamber to settle my Tangier accounts, and then to my office, there to do the like with other papers. In the evening, home to supper and to bed. The 22nd of May. Up and down to the ships, which now are hindered from going to the fleet, to our great sorrow and shame, with their provisions, the wind being against them. So to the Duke of Albemarle, and thence down by water to Deptford, it being Trinity Monday, and so the day of choosing the Master of Trinity House for the next year, where, to my great content, I find that contrary to the practice and design of Sir William Batten, to break the rule and custom of the company in choosing their masters by succession, he would have brought in Sir William Ryder or Sir William Penn over the head of Hurlston, who is a knave too, besides, I believe. The younger brothers did all oppose it against the elder, and with great heat did carry it for Hurlston, which I know will vex him to the heart. Thence the election being over to church, where an idle sermon from that conceited fellow Dr. Britton, saving that his advice to unity and laying aside all envy and enmity among them, was very apposite. Thence walked to Redriff, and so to the Trinity House, and a great dinner as is usual, and so to my office where busy all the afternoon till late, and then home to bed, being much troubled in mind for several things. First, for the condition of the fleet for lack of provisions. The blame this office lies under, and the shame that they deserve to have brought upon them for the ships not being gone out of the river. And then for my business of Tangier, which is not settled. And lastly, for fear that I am not observed to have attended the office business of late as much as I ought to do, though there hath been nothing but my attendance on Tangier that hath occasioned my absence, and that of late not much. The 23rd of May. Up and at the office, busy all the morning. At noon, dined alone, my wife and mother being gone by invitation to dine with my mother's old servant, Mr. Cordry, who made them very welcome. So to Mr. Povis, where after a little discourse about his business, I home again and late at the office, busy. Late comes Sir Arthur Ingram to my office, to tell me that by letters from Amsterdam of the 28th of this month, their style, the Dutch fleet, being about 100 men of war, besides fireships, etc., did set out upon the 23rd and 24th instant, being divided into 7 squadrons, viz. 1. General Optam. 2. Cottenaer of Rotterdam. 3. Trump. 4. Schramm of Horn. 5. Stillingworth of Friesland. 6. Evertsen. 7. One other, not named, of Zealand. The 24th of May. Up by 4 o'clock in the morning, and with Will Hewer there till 12 without intermission, putting some papers in order. Thence to the coffee-house with Creed, where I have not been a great while, where all the news is of the Dutch being gone out, and of the plague growing upon us in this town, and of remedies against it. Some saying one thing, some another. So home to dinner, and after dinner Creed and I to Colville's, thinking to show him all the respect we could, by obliging him in carrying him 5 tallies of £5,000, to secure him for so much credit he hath formerly given Povey to Tangier. But he, like an impertinent fool, cavils at it, the most ignorantly that ever I heard man in my life. At last Mr. Viner, by chance, comes, who I find a very moderate man, but could not persuade the fool to reason. But I brought away the tallies again, and so vexed, to my office, where late, and then home to my supper and to bed. The 25th of May. Up and to the office, where all the morning. At noon, dined at home, and then to the office all the afternoon, busy till almost 12 at night, and then home to supper and to bed. The 26th of May. Up at 4 o'clock, and all the morning in my office with Will Hewer, finishing my papers that were so long out of order, and at noon to my booksellers, and there bespoke a book or two, and so home to dinner where Creed dined with me, and he and I afterward to Alderman Backwell's, to try him about supplying us with money, which he denied at first, and last also, saving that he spoke a little fairer at the end than before. But the truth is, I do fear I shall have a great deal of trouble in getting of money. Thence home, and in the evening by water to the Duke of Albemarle, whom I found mightily off the hooks that the ships are not gone out of the river, which vexed me to see, insomuch that I am afeard that we must expect some change or addition of new officers brought upon us, so that I must from this time forward resolve to make myself appear eminently serviceable in attending at my office duly, and nowhere else, which makes me wish with all my heart that I had never anything to do with this business of Tangier. After a while at my office, home to supper, vexed, and to bed. The 27th of May. Up and to the office, where all the morning. At noon, dined at home, and then to my office again, where late, and so to bed, with my mind full of care for the business of this office, and troubled with that of Tangier, concerning which Mr. Povey was with me, but doth give me little help, but more reason of being troubled, so that were it not for our Plymouth business, I would be glad to be rid of it. The 28th of May, Lord's Day. By water to the Duke of Albemarle, where I hear that Nixon is condemned to be shot to death for his cowardice by a council of war. Went to chapel and heard a little music, and there met with Creed, and with him a little while walking, and to Wilkinson's for me to drink, being troubled with wind. And at noon to Sir Philip Warwick's to dinner, where abundance of company came in unexpectedly. And here I saw one pretty piece of household stuff, as the company increaseth, to put a larger leaf upon an oval table. After dinner much good discourse with Sir Philip, who I find, I think, a most pious good man, and a professor of a philosophical manner of life and principles, like Epictetus, whom he cites in many things. Thence to my Lady Sandwiches, where, to my shame, I had not been a great while before. Here, upon my telling her a story of my Lord of Rochester's running away on Friday night last with Mistress Mallet, the great beauty and fortune of the North, who had supped at Whitehall with Mistress Stuart, and was going home to her lodgings with her grandfather, my Lord Hawley, by coach, and was at Charing Cross seized on by both horse and footmen, and forcibly taken from him, and put into a coach with 6 horses and 2 women provided to receive her, and carried away. Upon immediate pursuit, my Lord of Rochester, for whom the King had spoke to the lady often, but with no success, was taken at Uxbridge, but the lady is not yet heard of, and the King mighty angry, and the Lord sent to the Tower. Hereupon my lady did confess to me, as a great secret, her being concerned in this story, for if this match breaks between my Lord Rochester and her, then, by the consent of all her friends, my Lord Hinchinbrook stands fair, and is invited for her. She is worth, and will be at her mother's death, who keeps but a little from her, £2,500 per annum. Pray God give a good success to it. But my poor lady, who is afeard of the sickness, and resolved to be gone into the country, is forced to stay in town a day or 2 or 3 about it, to see the event of it. Thence home, and to see my Lady Penn, where my wife and I were shown a fine rarity, of fishes kept in a glass of water, that will live so for ever, and finely marked they are, being foreign. So to supper at home, and to bed. After many people being with me about business, among others the two Bellamys, about their old debt due to them from the king for their victualling business, out of which I hope to get some money. The 29th of May. Lay long in bed, being in some little pain of the wind, colic. Then up and to the Duke of Albemarle, and so to the Swan, and there drank at Herbert's, and so by coach home, it being kept a great holiday through the city for the birth and restoration of the king. To my office, where I stood by and saw Simpson the joiner do several things, little jobs, to the rendering of my closet handsome, and the setting up of some neat plates that Burston hath for my money made me. And so home to dinner, and then with my wife, mother, and Mercer in one boat, and I in another, down to Woolwich, I walking from Greenwich, the others going to and fro upon the water till my coming back, having done but little business. So home and to supper, and weary to bed. We have everywhere taken some prizes. Our merchants have good luck to come home safe. Colliers from the north, and some Straitsmen just now, and our Hamburg ships, of whom we were so much afeard, are safe in Hamburg. Our fleet resolved to sail out again from Harwich in a day or two. The 30th of May. Lay long and very busy all the morning. At noon to the change, and thence to dinner to Sir George Carteret's, to talk upon the business of insuring our goods upon the Hamburg ships. Here, a very fine, neat French dinner without much cost, we being all alone with my lady, and one of the house with her. Thence home and wrote letters, and then in the evening by coach with my wife and mother and Mercer, our usual tour by coach, and ate at the old house at Islington. But, Lord, to see how my mother found herself talk, upon every object to think of old stories. Here I met with one that tells me that Jack Cole, my old schoolfellow, is dead, and buried lately, of a consumption, who was a great crony of mine. So back again home, and there to my closet, to write letters. Here, to my great trouble, that our Hamburg ships, valued of the king's goods and the merchants, though but little of the former, to £200,000, are lost. By and by, about 11 at night, called into the garden by my Lady Pen and daughter, and there walked with them and my wife till almost 12, and so in and closed my letters, and home to bed. The 31st of May. Up and to my office, and to Westminster, doing business till noon, and then to the change, where great the noise and trouble of having our Hamburg ships lost, and that very much placed upon Mr. Coventry's forgetting to give notice to them of the going away of our fleet from the coast of Holland, but all without reason, for he did. But the merchants, not being ready, stayed longer than the time ordered the convoy to stay, which was 10 days. Thence home with Creed and Mr. Moore to dinner. Anon we broke up, and Creed and I to discourse about our Tangier matters of money, which vex me. So to Gresham College, stayed a very little while, and away, and I home busy, and busy late at the end of the month, about my month's accounts. But by the addition of Tangier, it is rendered more intricate, and so, which I have not done these 12 months, nor would willingly have done now, failed of having it done, but I will do it as soon as I can. So weary and sleepy to bed. I endeavoured, but missed, of seeing Sir Thomas Ingram at Westminster, so went to Houseman's, the painter, who I intend shall draw my wife, but he was not within, but I saw several very good pictures. June 1665. The 1st. Up and to the office, where sat all the morning, at noon to the change, and there did some business, and home to dinner, whither Creed comes. And after dinner I put on my new silk Camelot suit, the best that ever I wore in my life, the suit costing me above £24. In this I went with him to Goldsmith's Hall to the burial of Sir Thomas Viner, which hall, and haberdashers also, was so full of people that we were fain for ease and coolness to go forth to Paternoster Row to choose a silk to make me a plain ordinary suit. That done, we walked to Cornhill, and there at Mr. Cade's stood in the balcon and saw all the funerals, which was with the blue-coat boys and old men, all the aldermen and Lord Mayor, etc., and the number of the company very great, the greatest I ever did see for a tavern. Hither came up to us Dr. Allen, and then Mr. Povey and Mr. Fox. The show being over and my discourse with Mr. Povey, I took coach and to Westminster Hall, where I took the fairest flower, and by coach to Tothill Fields for the air, till it was dark. I light, and in with the fairest flower, to eat a cake, and there did do as much as was safe with my flower, and that was enough on my part. Broke up and away without any notice, and after delivering the rose where it should be, I to the temple and light, and came to the middle door, and there took another coach, and so home, to write letters, but very few, God knows, being, by my pleasure, made to forget everything that is. The coachman that carried us cannot know me again, nor the people at the house where we were. Home to bed, certain news being come that our fleet is in sight of the Dutch ships. The 2nd of June. Lay troubled in mind, abed a good while, thinking of my Tangier and victualling business, which I doubt will fall. Up and to the Duke of Albemarle, but missed him. Thence to the Harp and Ball and to Westminster Hall, where I visited the flowers in each place, and so met with Mr. Creed, and he and I to Mistress Croft's, to drink, and did, but saw not her daughter, Burroughs. I away home, and there dined, and did business. In the afternoon went with my tallies, made a fair end with Colville and Viner, delivering them £5,000 tallies to each, and very quietly had credit given me upon other tallies of Mr. Colville for £2,000, and good words for more, and of Mr. Viner too. Thence to visit the Duke of Albemarle, and thence my Lady Sandwich and Lord Crewe. Thence home, and there met an express from Sir William Batten at Harwich, that the fleet is all sailed from Sole Bay, having spied the Dutch fleet at sea, and that if the calms hinder not, they must needs be now engaged with them. Another letter also came to me from Mr. Hayter, committed by the council this afternoon to the gatehouse, upon the misfortune of having his name used by one, without his knowledge or privity, for the receiving of some powder that he had bought. Up to court about these two, and for the former was led up to my Lady Castlemaine's lodgings, where the king and she and others were at supper, and there I read the letter and returned, and then to Sir George Carteret about Hayter, and shall have him released tomorrow upon my giving bail for his appearance, which I have promised to do. Sir George Carteret did go on purpose to the king to ask this, and it was granted. So home at 12:00, almost 1 o'clock in the morning. To my office till 2:00, and then home to supper and to bed. The 3rd of June. Up and to Whitehall, where Sir George Carteret did go with me to Secretary Morris, and prevailed with him to let Mr. Hayter be released, upon bail for his appearance. So I at a loss how to get another besides myself, and got Mr. Hunt, who did patiently stay with me all the morning at Secretary Morris's chamber all the morning, Mr. Hayter being sent for with his keeper, and at noon comes in the secretary, and upon entering recognizances, he for £200, and Mr. Hunt and I for £100 each, for his appearance upon demand, he was released, it costing him, I think, above £3. I, thence home, vexed to be kept from the office all the morning, which I had not been in many months before, if not some years. At home, to dinner, and all the afternoon at the office, where late at night and much business done, then home to supper and to bed. All this day, by all people upon the river and almost everywhere else hereabout, were heard the guns, our two fleets for certain being engaged, which was confirmed by letters from Harwich, but nothing particular. and all our hearts full of concernment for the Duke, and I particularly for my Lord Sandwich and Mr. Coventry, after His Royal Highness.